Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
The woman at the well had looked for love in all the wrong ways and places until she met Jesus. And then her life changed. What caused the change was good news. And the telling of good news is evangelism. The story today is working out of the passage that Paul and Lori read for us. But it's looking beyond simply the woman's receiving the love of Christ and the gift of salvation to how then she became a storyteller, how she became empowered to share the good news with others. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Because we all hunger for love. And Jesus is the wellspring of love brought to earth. The sense of aching in our hearts is to know there is a grace that hugs us close and heals our hurts and builds a hope that will not let go. That's the power of God's love. It's the story of the gift of salvation. It's like saying, I need water. You need water. We all need water. Makes sense. Up to 60% of our adult bodies are made of water. Up to 75% of an infant's body is made of water. Therefore, to drink water is to stay alive. Our body is saying, I need this in order to be. The gift of love is that nourishing us. In the very presence of God, it's when our soul is saying, I need something beyond myself in order to be myself. If we don't drink enough water, then we are dehydrated. The organs of our body begin to shut down. We can live 3 days without water, and after that, we are on the edge of death. The power of the promise of the Christ coming to the woman at John 4 is telling the story about the need for water to drink, yes, but how that was used by Jesus in order to communicate the story of his presence and our life as the living water. He was leaving the southern part of Israel. He got in trouble there, and so he was headed north, and he was going to get out of trouble up north. Wherever Jesus went in love, there was always trouble. There were troubled waters. And he came with the balm of Gilead, the message of heaven to earth, to bring not simply a way to calm the waters, but to calm the hearts and the waters of life. And so he went by choice into a most troubled region of Israel called Samaria. They were people who were called outcasts by people who lived above them, beside them, and beneath them. And therefore, the Samaritans kind of bucked up and said, we're better than anybody else. Even if you don't want us, we're not going away. And Jesus brought his message to them. He had told his disciples, don't go to Samaria. You're not ready for that yet. But now he was taking his ministry directly to them. And where did he go? He went to a well, a Jacob's well. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, one of the three patriarchs of the Hebrew faith. And there in Sychar at the famous well of Jacob, he went at midday. It was hot. It was sunny. The disciples had gone into the town to get some groceries, their HEB of the day in the marketplace. And he knew that he would be there and to meet someone who wasn't welcome early in the morning when all the other women would come to get water. That if he'd be there in midday, he would find this other person who was more outcast than anyone else. And sure enough, she showed up, and he asked her, as you know, a drink of water. And then she was shocked, shocked that a Jew would ask her, a Samaritan, shocked that a man would ask a woman. That was only the beginning of the shock that she would experience that day. But in the midst of that shock, she would open her soul to really hear the voice of Jesus. My prayer not only is that you're really hearing the voice of Jesus in your life, but that you're hearing the voice of Jesus in a way that you are sharing the voice of Jesus with others. That's evangelism. That's good news telling. And so the living water that he described in John 4:10 is the message by which he then provided the way and a pathway to be able to go forward. Now, how do we do this? How can I share my faith? Well, the good news is you can share your faith as a good news teller by simply being who you are, sharing what you have, and doing what God has given you to do with your life. You don't have to be someone else, but you need to be yourself. This woman at the well would discover who she truly was as she was discovered by Christ. And in that, she'd found that she had a voice to speak, a purpose to live, and talents to share. Because evangelism, good news telling, the storytelling has been done wrong by so many through a course of time, there is a sense of stigma around it that I'm not good enough, special enough to do it, or that's been so abusive in our world and the lives of people, nobody should do it. And what happens is that when we avoid something because of the extremes, we miss it altogether. The world needs for you to be the light. The light of this Christ, like the source of a living water for their lives. Last Sunday, as I was preaching on the opening series of evangelism and Jesus being the light of the world, and then how the light shined in the darkness and the darkness could not put it out, and then how Jesus said for us to be the light and not to hide our light, but show it in such a way that people will see the good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. Well, at midweek in my office, I was visiting with a senior law student. She'll be graduating in May, taking the bar in July. And the light was shining bright from her, shining from her personality, shining through the promise of her talents. And she is not only prepared for her baptism, she is prepared for all of her life to let her light be the light that will shine in the darkness and the corners of our world and hope into people's lives, because it is the light that is inside of her, triggering the spark that burns so brightly. How can you do it, and how can I do it? How was this woman at the well able to be found by the love of Christ, where then she began to share this love of Christ? And that's what evangelism is. It's letting people know they're loved. They're loved by God, and they can be loved by you, and they can love themselves, and there is grace for the sins, mistakes, the stuff of yesterday. And no fear of tomorrow, because God can hold tomorrow in his hands in order that we can truly live today. But what you can do, and what I can do, and what she did, is one to commit. Is to commit to a Christian lifestyle. That means that you're letting people know that you're a follower of the Christ. It means simply being who you are as a seeker, stepping in to be a believer, and a believer then letting that shine. It's not a neon light over you, but it is the sense of letting people know that there's a source that burns inside of you that has changed you from the inside out and gives you hope. And when you show up in class, when you go into the corporate room or you're on the factory line, there's a sense of knowing that you've been touched by the love of God, because they can feel it from you. Now, one of the reasons I don't have on the bumper sticker of my car that's saying I'm the pastor of Trinity Baptist Church is because on occasion my foot will get a little heavy. And I repent and I back off, glad there are no lights coming on in the back, but I don't want to embarrass you with that. But I do want people to know that I'm glad to be your pastor, but I want people to know that I'm a stumbling follower of Christ. I seek to stumble in going forward, and I trust him to always help me to balance me, but that's who I am and what I'm about. This past week when I met with my physician for my annual physical, he was kind enough to say, Pastor Les, I turn into your radio program every weekday morning as I'm going to the hospital at 6:30. And he's talking about how in the waiting rooms of his office, he has hymns, the stanzas of a hymn. And he'll speak to the people in his office and the patients who come through that are willing and want him to share. He's a great physician. You don't want to go to a doctor that's not a great physician. But it is sure nice when the great physician knows the great physician. And he says, all of us stumble. We get misdirected. But the power of the Christ is that he takes us as we are and he sends us where we can be. And the sense of being able to talk about that together is a commitment. to let people know that you are known by the Father's love. Pray for our relationships. Pray for our family. Pray for our friends. Pray for the people you work with. Pray for the people that you see, and just simply lift them up into God instead of, you know, honking the horn and behind when somebody hasn't immediately hit the accelerator when the light turned green, is to say, you know, Lord, be with that person so I don't have to get after him. Pray for the people in the grocery line. Just lift them up. It doesn't have to be. Your spirit is that, Lord, I want what's best for them. Just be with them. Hold them close. Care for them. And then you've held them, and then God will open up your life at least once a year, if not once a week. He'll open up your life into the sphere of relationships, and he'll give a prompting to your heart to say, I want you to take it to the next step. I want you to use the talents that I've given you, and I want you to use your personality, and I want you to just angle that in a way that they know this good news. So you can commit, you can pray, and then you're aware. And when you're there, then you know there are ways to share your faith. So I'm going to talk about six of them. Six of them that we can find from this incredible story of John 4, and many of you know this story. And so I'm not simply assuming upon your knowledge, but wanting to build on the knowledge that some of you have, while still let it be an introduction for those of you whom this is a new story. It's a story about how she made it personal. See, nobody can live your life but you, and you don't want to live somebody else's life. You want to live your life, and that's why Christ came for you, so that you may live your best life. That's the name of our radio program every morning heard across this region of Texas, living your best life. That's exactly why Christ came. That's exactly what God wants. And so evangelism begins by just being very personal, that you can tell your story, your personal experience, and that carries this passionate persuasion. Now, part of the remarkable feature, indeed, is that Jesus was talking to this woman at the well, and she had been married five times before, and the man that she was living with then was not her husband. And Jesus just seemed to know that, and she was stunned, shocked a second time, that Jesus knew that about her, and she said, you must be a prophet. And the good news is that God knows exactly who you are and what's going on in your life, and that in the light of his knowing you, he wants his love to be deep within you, that you may love others from that very same hurt that has hurt you. And so, Paul and Laura read the latter part of that chapter. Remember, she, who was ostracized by the town, who wasn't given a place to stand in the marketplace because of her past and her current standing, she then could go to town because she had a story, she had a personal story, and she said, come see a man who knows everything that I have done. Could this be the Christ, the Messiah? He didn't stone her. He didn't castigate her. He showed her grace. And he showed her hope. Can you tell your story? Can you tell your story in a way that people want to hear your story? That's part of the challenge. Yes. But God has your story in a way that can connect with some people in just the right way that they'll pay attention to this Christ. Secondly, good news telling is always relational. Always relational. The most abusive form of any relationship is to objectify people, where people become an object. They become something we're to do something to. Again, part of the gift of my physician is that I know that I'm a patient and he's working with me, but I am a person to him. And the sense of that relational piece is kind of building trust, that you can build trust in the lives of people. And because they know that you are trustworthy, imperfect as you are, as I am, as much as we are in need of the Savior's love, as I do and you do and we all do, that we are trustworthy, we have no desire to hurt anyone else or make somebody an object of something in our life. where people see you and they don't run the other way because they know there's a trust that's there. See, we can all do that. We can all be personal. We can all be relational. We can all do acts of servanthood. That is acts of kindness, acts of seeing the need. Jesus caught the woman's attention at the well when he said, "I'm thirsty, can you give me water?" And she said, "Okay, but you don't have a scoop, which means you're going to have to use my scoop. You remember now, I'm a Samaritan, I'm a woman, and you already know that I've been married 5 times. You sure you want that?" And then Jesus said to her, "Oh, if you only knew that I was the living water, then you would ask more than simply this water that I'd ask you to give me." She said, "Sir, give me the kind of water that I'll never thirst again, that I won't have to come here every day, and I won't have to be on the edge of dying of thirst." And Jesus, "No, I'm talking about the water in your soul that quenches you." There's a lot of controversy going on around the border. 2,000 miles of border between the United States and Mexico. You got your opinion, I got my opinion, we all got opinions. One of the things we can always work with, though, is to try to get at the source of where the migration is coming from. Hurt and need, fear, endangered lives. You know, that's why we partner with a vibrant, courageous ministry in Honduras. Honduras, one of the most violent nations in Central America. We have a ministry partnering there with many other people to make living waters happen. There's a small section of land where a courageous couple have opened their, and we help to build buildings on their place where children can come that no longer have parents, that can no longer live in their homes, and children can come and live there. And what is that called but the Living Waters Ranch? Why? Because that's the story of John 4. Jesus said, "I'm come to give you the living water, the gift of the living water." So the story about these acts of servanthood, the story of the credibility to be able to share, of caring for the whole person, the whole body, the whole mind, the whole spirit, the whole education, the whole work. You know why the world has made tremendous progress with pure water, feeding, stopping malaria? It's because the church has been on the front line of the hurts in our world with missions and ministry to make that difference. Creating micro industries. Now, we do that in the name of Christ. We do that in the name of God's love. We do that in order to empower the whole person to know this gift of Christ. We don't simply share a gospel like in Ghana, but we help to sustain a hospital. We help to deliver malaria nets. We help to create a women's center. And then we tell the story of God's love through Christ that has come as a savior for all the world. And that's the same for our neighbor who's across the driveway from us or the hallway from us or the cubicle from us, is that we can do these same acts of servanthood. Now, not everybody likes to hear scripture. But the scripture is the inspired word of God. It's a truth beyond us. And what even some people don't know who think they don't like the scripture is glad to know that there is a wisdom beyond us that we can turn to. And that's what's going on in the conversation of this woman at the well with Jesus. They're talking about scripture and the story of Genesis and story of Jacob and who owns this well and who belongs and who doesn't belong. And so the use of scripture in conversation is empowering. I mean, after all, we can say God loves the world so much. Say it with me if you know John 3:16. God loves the world so much. Begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the truth. If we can tell the story about the prodigal son, we can tell a story about the script, how God has worked through time. And let it show for those for whom are willing to hear that scripture. So in the midst of this, we can share the conviction and the power that comes from the scripture, and that we can let that be made known into the lives of people. And so John 4 can be a way of helping us to make that clear within our life. We can know that there are teachable moments that come to all of us. There are times all of us that we're hurting in the sense of coming to someone's life right at this time in their life. Vicky's dad, Hack, as you know, passed away a little over 2 years ago, and the last weeks of his life, when he had been suffering a lot, he was before that a few months before. He asked Helen, his wife, to take him to just a bench in Waxahachie, Ellis County. Sit down at a bench, because if somebody came along, he wanted to be able to tell them about the love of Christ in their life. Before he died, that's how he wanted to go out. Now, when he was a little boy, growing up in the panhandle of Texas, he was in the worship service, and a Sunday school teacher sat next to him and said, "Do you know God's love for you and how you can commit your life to Christ?" And she influenced him. And then he saw in the middle of the Depression his father getting off from working in the railroad and bringing people back to the farm and feeding them bread and potatoes, because that's all they had, but feeding them. And they could sometimes have 20 people out in the yard feeding the meals because of the love of Jesus. See, all of that coming together. The sense of looking at the needs of people and genuinely trying to meet the needs of people by this love of God. You know, when somebody came to you, your marriage had gone south and it wasn't coming back north. You had just been let go at work. Your child had hit a rough spot on life's road. And somebody just knew how to come to you in a teachable moment, connect with you. Doesn't that mean a lot? And then to be able to come to someone who's looking for that wellspring, who's looking for a love in their life to give them the capacity to know the joy of living, the joy of Christ, deep in their life, and to come to share with them. And then there's a way of explaining how things are and why they are, the intellectual approach. My same father-in-law, who was looking at me, shaking his head when I was moving my way through my PhD, he said, "It just takes some of us longer than others to get an education." Yet, once we were on the north rim of the Grand Canyon, I was out hiking and I came back, he was seated on a bench. Seated next to a guy, and he was telling them, "Isn't this amazing?" I just kind of overheard the conversation. He said, "Isn't this amazing, this great Grand Canyon? I wonder how it got here." He said, "I bet God made this." Now, why would God make this? Because he just captures our attention in his creation. Now, I wonder why God did this. I guess that's because he loves us. Now, how does God love us? But he wants us to know that love can shape our lives. He didn't know it, but he was doing intellectual sharing his faith. He was connecting the dots of what was missing and saying that this is the creation of God and there's a creator behind the creation in your life. Now we need the good water. We need the true water of Jesus. And I don't need people to reject the gospel because of my inadequacies, sinfulness, my stuff. So I got to look way beyond myself. I got to point beyond myself, but to let myself be a means that is shared. When Stephen, our youngest, was about 8 years old, and he had been in the gym playing ball, and he came into my office, and he saw on the shelf in my office a bottle of Evian water. Boy, he went to that bottle, he opened the cap, he took a big swig of it, and he spit it all out, all across my desk. He said, "That's yucky. What is that?" And he looked at it, and it had all kinds of old yuck in it. It was some Jordan River water that I had brought back from Israel. I hadn't treated it. It had, let's say, just moss growing inside of it. That wasn't going to satisfy his thirst. It's only the real source of this living water that does. And so this woman, on the same day, loved by the source of the living water, went back to her hometown, the very town that wouldn't let her in. And she said to them, come see this man who knows all that I did. They did. And they reported back at the end of the story, at the end of the chapter, they reported back the story in John 4, 42. They said to her, they were now speaking to her, he had made the relationships whole, just like he would do for Zacchaeus, just like he would do for anyone who was coming to be restored to people who've been saved by love. They said, we believe not only because of what you said, but we've heard for ourselves and we've seen with our own eyes that indeed this is the Jesus, the Savior of the world. What do we do with this? My prayer is that you will do something with this by your life. That you will take this story and your giftedness, and you will let God shape an inner joy that your life matters and it matters to others and it matters on how you can share him with others so they too may know that joy. Well, we'll see. We'll see what we do with this. By what we do with our lives. But there was a woman who was changed, and she changed her hometown. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you know who we are and what's going on in our lives right now. You know what's stirring. More than anything else, we just want to be honest. We want to be just really honest with you and with ourselves. And in that honesty, we're glad that you give us a place to stand in love and grace, and you give us amazing grace. So for some, that's saying that today I'm stepping and saying, I need Jesus. For others, it's in the sense of being in the town and saying, I need for us to be a town. I need for us to be family. I want to be a part of this church. And Lord, I want to be a member. And Lord, for all of us, may you stir in such a way that right now you are giving us a face to see, a voice to hear, a name to recall, a person whom you want us to live the love in such a way that we may share the love in such a way that they will know you as Savior and Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.